Session number 2118905.
Kwiatkowski, Room 5.
The road was like, intercity road, like a motorway. It was called Wał Miedzeszyński. And there was no public, using this road, but there were lorries, using this road as a sort of thoroughfare. So I said, well, we better go there, and there might be a chance there. As we walked towards the Wał Miedzeszyński, we suddenly heard an engine, car engine. We looked back, and there a lorry turned around from the street which we were walking into one of the side streets. So I said, let's go. We went there. What from a distance looked like a lorry was a provincial fire engine. It was a lorry converted into a fire engine with a fire ladder, over the top, with a bell by the cabin, But it wasn't originally designed. It was a lorry converted to that, and it stopped outside one of those family houses, and. Obviously, what became obvious later, some higher-ranking fire brigade officer must have lived there. And a lot of people before the Russians advanced moved from Praga, from the eastern side of Vistula, to the west, expecting that if there will be any fighting, most likely to be on the east side of Warsaw. So he decided to move as well. And we had bundles of, packed belongings, and his wife and two children. And the driver already put some of those bundles on this fire engine, So he walked up to him and said, look, we want this lorry. He said, well, I can't say, well, we are not asking you, we are telling you, we are taking this lorry. So he shook his shoulders, chucked the bundles off, and he turned the lorry round. We got to a corner of the other street. I stayed with him, with my pistol already taken out, so that he had no doubt that he has to obey me. And the deputy platoon commander went to the house, and they brought the machine gun and two boxes of ammunition, and I think some hand grenades, and I think some explosives, but I'm not too sure about it, wrapped up in some racks or whatever, blankets. We put them on. The the deputy leader of the platoon sat in the cabin next to the driver. He put hand grenades on his lap, and he was holding his hand on the bell, the fire engine bell. And four of us got at the back of the lorry. And as it happened, which was rather stupid, all four of us were wearing a civilian raincoats, but of sort of military style. We looked almost as if we were in uniform. We got them earlier on in one of the actions when we occupied a German factory, and among other things, they had these coats. But it gave the impression that we are in some sort of uniform. Now, we knew that to cross the bridge, there were, on both sides, there were two patrols or checkpoints. One was German military police stopping and checking the German army people, and the other one was German policemen checking civilians, Poles, They didn't stop everybody, but, you know, they were stopping people. If you didn't like your face, he'll stop you and, well, check your identity card and so on. We crossed the east part and we haven't been stopped. And we are going already, we are on the west side of Vistula River. And the policemen jump out with this, the Germans had sort of a disc on a handle. And they would show it out to stop the car. So in accordance with our prearranged, the driver slowed down at first and then put his foot down and our friend started ringing the bell, you know. And the German with the stop signal and the other jumped back and we drove at full speed through. And we got to around the corner from the place where we were to unload our treasure. As we did that, the deputy platoon commander offered a 500 zlotys to the driver. And the driver said, "No, thank you, we serve the same purpose." And he wouldn't accept the money. Well, obviously he was in the Polish resistance as well, like most of the firemen were. As a matter of fact, one of the fire stations was a known place for the Polish officer schools, you know. So that's how we got the machine gun across. Well, end of that episode. Now, I want to go back now to the storming the main post office in which I took part. The main post office was in Napoleon Square, now called Plac Powstańców, the square of insurrectors, if you like. It was called the main building was on the east side of Napoleon Square. It's a completely new building now. In that place, the Bank of Poland, entirely different building. But it also had other buildings farther back. It was three or four buildings altogether. And they were surrounded by solid wall all round, and one of the buildings is sort of annex was farther back with a big courtyard between the building and the Napoleon Square, which was fun stuff. We left my friend. I better mention his name now, I should have done earlier. Jerzy Rutkowski, his pseudonym was Senk. That was the chap with whom we were occupying the anti-tank position earlier on in Mazowiecka Street. without going into too many details, we left that unit, the two of us, and joined another unit. As we joined, which looked to us, you know, better armed, better, bigger, whatever. And that was the morning of the 2nd of September, of August. And they, as we got there, they asked for volunteers to start some attack on the post office complex. As usual, whenever you had a group of people, you ask for volunteers, the whole lot stepped forward, you know, nobody wanted to sit and do nothing, you know. But we were not given any arms at all. But there was a pile, I don't know what is the English name, it's an army spade with a short handle. Infantrymen carry them with them, you know, to dig up, well,
entrenching tool.
Entrenching tool, yeah. Now, when I read Remarque's book, All Quiet in the Western Front, in the book I said that the German soldiers who were attacking the Allied positions, they preferred to use the entrenchment tools rather than rifle and bayonet, that it was much more handy and more effective weapon. So I said, good. So Jurek, this friend of mine, and I armed ourselves with this spades, you know, sharpened the edges a little bit on the film, and off we went. We were told to jump across Świętokrzyska Street to some blocks of flats, you know, were all down under fire. And the buildings in Warsaw were usually built into quadrangles. The front building with a big gate with an archway underneath, then the courtyard and the four buildings around him. Sometimes there was another archway to the next courtyard, another building. This one had only buildings, when we got to the courtyard, only on three sides. The fourth side was the wall to the post office complex. But against that wall there was a ground floor building, presumably used as a storage before the war, but during the war, because of lack of accommodation, it was turned into a flat. And there were two fellows in there. One had a rifle, one had an automatic pistol, and they had a pickaxe and a steel rod. And we joined them. And our instructions was to break a hole in the wall. So we removed the furniture from the wall, which was facing the, you know, neck, you know, to the, was part of the wall. But it was covered not with plaster, but with some strong cement. And we had a job to break off the cement to start with. We were taking turns working flat out, you know, sweating. We dug out a space of the concrete plaster, if you like, big enough for a person to get through, and started digging at the actual bricks of the wall. When the first brick was about to become loose, we didn't know whether it's another layer of bricks or whether the wall is only one brick deep. So the fellow with the automatic pistol stood back with his pistol ready, and we removed the first brick. It turned out that there was a second layer of bricks. So now we started digging the bricks from the first layer big enough for a person to go through. When we finished that, we just about were starting to dig through the next layer of bricks, a messenger came to us asking us to come back. We were it was a mixed feeling. Once we were furious, all our effort, all our sweat, and we expected, if anything, they would send some reinforcements so that we can attack. On the other hand, subconsciously, a relief. We are not going to dig a hole, because if we do dig the hole, what do? Run across the courtyard under machine gun fire. Anyway, we came back. After half an hour later, we have been ordered back again with a larger group, some, you know, detachment, about 10 of us. Now, this time, still, Jurek and I still were only armed with this space, you know. This time they took us to a wall on the east side of the complex. In other words, a triangle to the one which we were trying to dig through. And when we got there, a hole was already broken through. But on the side of the post office, against the wall, there were mounted iron rods in a S shape, quite big ones. the top part of the S was fixed to the wall. The bottom of the bigger part was fixed to the ground. And the rods were so close to each other that you couldn't get through them. I must say, we weren't the first ones, we were following others. So once you got to the hole, we had to run about, 5-8 meters alongside the wall through the thick part of the S-shaped letter. And then there were two or three of those rods missing. I don't think they were removed by our chaps, they were just missing. And opposite that there was a door, back door leading to the annex, post office buildings annex. And the first wave was already there. They got through the door, and from the door there were stairs leading to a cellar, and the first thing we noticed was about, 2 or 3 Germans who surrendered. And there were a few steps to the ground floor, proper ground floor of the building. So we ran that, and along the whole building there was a corridor, and on either side there were offices. So we ran from door to door to the various offices, not so much hoping that, well, of course, hoping that we'll catch some Germans, but basically that we'll get some weapons. That was our main objective. Well, all the rooms were empty. But what's more, when we got into the offices facing Napoleon Square, we found ourselves under our own fire from our chap shooting, particularly from the Prudential building. Prudential, the insurance company, had its building in where that was the tallest building in Warsaw, about 17 story high, and our chaps were firing at the Germans in the post office from these higher up positions. Unfortunately, they were firing at us. We had no Polish flag with us or anything like that. So what we did, we removed the armbands, the Polish armbands, white and red, attached it to whatever we could attach it to, and started waving it through the window, hiding behind the parapets of the window. And somehow or other they noticed that, because they stopped firing at us. So we were in control of the first, on the ground floor. Now, there were two more floors. And our group lost all the impetus of attack. We got to the staircase and none of us would go up. Because after all, you have to run the staircase, this one German at the top of the landing, with a machine gun, we were all dead. And as we stopped and lost all enthusiasm of our advancement, a young officer came rushing to, and he shouted, "Follow me, boys!" And he ran first, and we followed him. It was just, luckily for us, there was no German at the landing. So the same thing happened. We ran across the corridors. I didn't, but some of our chaps came across Germans who surrendered. And in one of the offices there was a machine gun, German machine gun position, and those Germans surrendered as well. So now, not having any weapons, I ran downstairs into the courtyard, because I saw some bodies, German soldiers lying there, most likely killed or at least seriously wounded. I ran to the first one, he was dead, and it was a rifle along his body, so I picked up the rifle. But when I look at the rifle, the bottom of the bullet chamber was missing. You can load into a rifle, usually those rifles you load 5 rounds of ammunition, which you have to reload before firing the next one, but they all fight in that chamber. Now, because there was the bottom plate was missing, so if you had that rifle, you could only fire one shot at a time, every time loading it directly into the firing chamber. So stupidly I threw it and ran towards the other bodies, expecting that I would find a good rifle. When I got to those bodies, there were no rifles, somebody else was before me. So I ran back to the one which I drove, and that was gone. So I, in the end, I finished without a rifle. And I ran towards a door leading to an archway of the main building. And there were some vehicles, a couple of lorries and some open cars. And I was the only one there. So I started looking for, you know, first I looked into the cabins and then into the lorries and everywhere that there might be some weapons where there weren't any. But as I was looking at that, a banging occurred at the main door, you know. Somebody was hitting the door, banging the door. And I heard the shouts, "Open up, it's Aka." Well, those chaps were attacking the building across Napoleon Square, where they could do it, because we were the only ones who already managed to get into the post office building from other side. So I opened the gate, and you wouldn't believe it, who was in front of me? My platoon commander and my platoon. What a coincidence! And among them was Dr. Ochocki, whom you met. That's where I first met him, so I know exactly that. I first met him about at around 3 o'clock on the 2nd of August 1944, and we are good friends till today. Well, there was a general euphoria after we took the post office. Well, first that it was a defended building by the Germans, which the Germans tried to reinforce with tanks and we stopped the tanks. But the most important thing was that there were about 7 streets leading to the square. And we couldn't use any of those streets because all of them were under fire from the post office. So once we took the post office, the whole district, the whole area was in our control, and it was not under German fire, so that was... But just one picture. So walking around the corner, one of the buildings at the corner, which was a block of flats, either a first or second floor balcony, there were standing, well, who looked to me then as middle-aged ladies, you know. And they were holding a painting of Madonna. And they were praying and declaring that a miracle has happened, that we ourselves have liberated Warsaw. So that's just one of the illustrations of what was going on. Can we make a short break? So after this euphoria about taking the post office, main post office complex of buildings, and the next episode, which I would like to mention, about two days later, our platoon moved to west part of Warsaw, to Wola. Our platoon commander could not establish contact with our company commander, neither with any of the officers of the Polish, of the NSZ. So we were some sort of attached unit, which was by the insurrector standards quite reasonably armed. We had a machine gun, we had, I think, 2 automatic pistols, we had several rifles, we had grenades, which was... and that's possibly why quite a lot of people wanted to join us. Yeah. Anyway, we marched towards Wola and the main front line. When we got to Leshno Street, we entered again one of those archways to one of the buildings, and our platoon commander, by the way, his pseudonym was Mstislav. He's still alive. He lives in Australia. Here I am in contact with him. He ordered us to sit down on the floor in the archway, and he went out to look for the local commander to join the local forces. When we sat there, a fellow in his 20s, tall, handsome, sat next to me. He was one of those who volunteered to join us, and for somehow he was accepted, because in most cases, oh, well, look, if you got weapons, fair enough, but if you haven't, there's very little you can do for us. When he started chatting to me, and he said that he comes, I think, if I remember correctly, from the area around Kielce, which is in central Poland, in the Świętokrzyskie Mountains, as are called, and that he came to Warsaw on business, and the uprising caught him there, and he joined us. And he asked me to take his name and his family address just in case something will happen to me, just in case to me, and if I get killed, you know. And I said to him, don't be stupid, nothing is going to happen to me, to you. 2 hours later, he was dead. When we attacked a German position to the ruins of the Warsaw ghetto, the ghetto, the, what was the ghetto, you know, was completely just flattened ruins where there were craters from bombs and so on, but basically there were no buildings standing. But at the corner of Leshno Street and Żelazna Street, there was a school, well, before the war, which either German gendarmes of police, one of those units, quite a strong one, was those were quarters, and were trying to stone them, and trying to stone them through the ruins of the ghetto. He moved this fellow from Kielce. He moved ahead of everybody else. Obviously, he was a brave man, but perhaps he wanted also to demonstrate to us that he is a good soldier. And several of our chaps who advanced further were either wounded or killed. And suddenly we saw that he, well, he was crawling, but that he stopped, and that he was most likely at least wounded. So one or two of our chaps crawled after him and dragged him back by his feet and dragged back his rifle. The rifle was more important than this fellow to us. He was dead. He was already dead. The bullet hit him straight on the head, and you know, the Germans were firing it. Whenever I go to Warsaw, and I go about every second year, sometimes twice a year, I always go to the tomb of the unknown soldier to pay respect to all the Poles who fought and died. And I always pray for the known unknown soldier. Nobody remembers him. I'm the only one who remembers him. There's no record of him. Nobody knows his name. Nobody knows. I don't know if he had a pseudonym. Anyway, he just is typical unknown soldier, except that I remember him. Well, we didn't succeed in taking the German positions in that school, because the next day or two, or actually already then, the Germans started a big offensive to cut through Warsaw to gain to link with the German army on the in Praga, because otherwise that army was cut off. And of course they succeeded using Luftwaffe artillery, what have you, tanks, flamethrowers, and but our biggest problem was the lack of ammunition. Even those rifles which we had, the occupying building